This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour number two. Good Friday to you. Thanks for joining us as we continue along. We were talking about what was going on this weekend. One thing that is going on in Cooperstown, New York, is David Ortiz is going to get inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. David Ortiz is, to me, a really fascinating athlete. Really fascinating. He was part of the Red Sox journey to bring back World Series championships to Boston. But I also think, and I know I've said this before, I think in 2013 he was the most important athlete that we had in sports. Because he was an athlete that understood his city, was in pain and agony, and was mourning after the Boston Marathon bombing. And he was willing to take it upon himself to be that famous voice in the city that could rally the city. He had a voice. He could get into a microphone and people would listen to what he had to say. And he was willing to do that and helped rally the city around each other. And then to top it off, as the months were ticking off in 2013, they won a World Series, beating the St. Louis Cardinals in that World Series, in which he was magnificent. And then, of course, you have a full career. And then out of nowhere, we get a story where he gets shot. And then people didn't know why he got shot. You know, some speculated he was caught in he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, meaning the bullet was meant for somebody else and happened to hit him. And then there was an investigation, and sure enough, it turned out there was a hit on him. So David Ortiz is going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. And by the way, if you saw him at the All-Star game, he was really funny. He was really funny. I liked that. He was going around the dugout, you know, and he has a rapport with the players that's different than a Ken Rosenthal or anybody else. And they utilize that. He could joke with the guys. He could be loose with the guys. It was a loose setting. I mean, he's not going to do that in a World Series game or a playoff game where he's just going to yap and laugh and, you know, make jokes. But I think for what that was, it was good stuff. David Ortiz going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up. It's brought to you by Verizon. And then we'll also get into ACC Media Days. Why ACC Media Days? Because two other conferences had theirs, and they love to brag about their future. Did the ACC brag about theirs? We'll talk about that. But the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next. It's Tony D, it's Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb, and it's brought to you by Verizon. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Our best price unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love, switch to Verizon today. Pay-per-view billing required, unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Let's get right to it. The good of the day for the Friday.
Good of the day. Rivals.com writer based in South Carolina, Alan Cole.
Yeah?
Had the useless stat tweet of the week.
From
SEC Media Days.
Right.
And I think it says a lot about the coaches.
Okay.
I don't know why he did this or how he even came about it. I mean, it hurts my brain to think about. But he calculated the amount of words each coach said in their opening statement.
Oh, why would you do that?
I don't know. But not surprisingly, Clark Lee and Shane Beamer led the way, you know, newcomers to the conference.
Right.
Led the way with over 2,000 words in their opening statement.
Yeah, they still, like, they both have, like, they really, really want to make
like
people
they want to be
say,
liked.
Like, they, yeah, like, like our program's doing really well. I mean, we're really building on some good things here. You gotta really trust us. We're really building on, that kind of thing. That's the way they're doing it.
But like I said, The opening statements, I mean, the amount of words these guys said in their opening statements really explains the coach a lot.
Yeah.
Would you care to venture the amount of words Mike Leach had in his opening statement?
I don't even want to know.
Seven,
yeah. Sure, it was very short.
All he said was, all right, well, I appreciate that. Any questions?
Yeah. There's really no reason to give, like, a state of the state with Mike Leach.
And in fact, if we know anything, if you were listening earlier this week, I mean, we highlighted Mike Leach at SEC Media Days giving us Netflix recommendations.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what he does.
So,
that's great.
Yeah, we don't need to know college football from Mike Leach. You know, he produces on the field. He doesn't need to tell us where the program's headed. We know where the program's headed. Seven words versus 2,300 from Clark Lee.
These things are amazing, man. They are really amazing, these media days.
Yeah.
It's you know, because I've gone to them as a working guy where I'm like, I got to get information. I got to extrapolate something out of this. If I was a coach, I'd be like, ugh, I don't want to do this, but I'll do it anyway. But I would be, my choice would be not to do 2,000 words. My choice wouldn't be do seven, but I certainly wouldn't be giving speeches on my program. That's not happening. Right? I would definitely not be doing that.
Yeah. Now, Twitter did have a lot of fun jokes because Jimbo Fisher gave 493 words.
Right.
And then somebody pointed out, but it was in eight sentences.
Right. Yeah, right.
Or Brian Kelly, you know, his opening statement was about 350. And then somebody just asked, what was it in an accent?
Yeah. Was he trying to goof off? Yeah, exactly. Like he did before.
Yeah, well done, Twitter. This is the type of tweets that I like.
Brian Kelly reminds me of that guy that like tries too hard when he's
what I mean?
Like he's the new member of the country club and he's like, "Hey guys, you guys all want to play whatever it is?"
Is he is Brian Kelly Flounder from Animal House?
Yeah, he's kind of, I get, you're right.
When he walks up he goes,
that's
"Y'all playing cards?"
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, y'all playing cards? What do you guys do out there on the golf course? Bingo bango bongo?
All right.
Guys want to play tennis? Yeah, like that's Brian Kelly. He's so excited to be part of the club. He's just thrilled.
Is this where I get a steak sandwich?
Right, yeah. Look at me. I'm at LSU, guys. I'm so excited.
Made it. Big time.
God, can you imagine? In my lifetime, if you would have told me 30 years ago that a guy would leave Notre Dame for LSU and think it was an upgrade, I would have been like, no way. And LSU is a great school. Don't get me wrong. That's a great program to be a head coach at. But back when I was young, Notre Dame was the job.
It's
Notre
is.
Dame was you what, know, you, what you wanted.
When you look at like the top college programs across the country, Notre Dame is still on that list.
It's absolutely. Even though it is.
They haven't really done they haven't won a championship in a long time. I mean, they've made appearances in the playoff, but you still look at them and they're it's. Like one of the top five programs in the country. I mean, still.
It is, and here's the thing. That's why when Greg Sankey spoke at SEC Media Days and he just basked in the glory that is his conference, that's what they've built. They've built a conference where a guy is the head coach at Notre Dame for as long as Brian Kelly was and felt like that place is better because it's in the SEC. He's got a worldwide network of boosters. That school has influential people around the world attached to it. And he still felt, and it's not just LSU. And again, LSU is a great place to be a head coach, But it also, he could have looked at Florida. He could have looked at Auburn. He could have looked at Tennessee and have seen the same kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
if I want to win a national championship, that's where I have to go. I have to go where the recruits are going to want to go to, because I've done it here where I've brought in really good players and we've not even been close to the level of what we see when we go to the playoff. So that's what they do. Yeah. SEC Media Day is crazy. When we talk ACC Media Days, my first question out of the gate is going to be the Big 12 talked about open for business. The SEC puffed its chest. What did the ACC do? What was the feeling around that? That's because that's in flux right now. They might lose seven teams.
All is good.
Yeah, all is good. We're hoping. All is good. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Everyone's happy. Everyone's happy.
The bad of the day. MLB teams will be earning a little extra cash in come 2023 as they're going to be doing the sponsors, the patches.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, a team like the Padres have already inked a deal with Motorola. Now, what's that old adage, bad publicity is still good publicity?
Yeah.
Because the Yankees have a suitor. They have an offer for $20 million from a company to put a patch on their on that iconic jersey. And it's from adult website StripChat.
Oh.
So two things came to my mind. One, obviously the Yankees will never do this since they, you know, don't allow beards or long hair.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, I mean, just
yeah, you're
we
not,
know that.
You're not going to associate with that.
So that's where you know, the bad publicity comes in because, you know, this website is getting known just for making the offer. But the other thing I was thinking about is with the Yankees, wouldn't $20 million seem really low?
Yeah, that would. For $20 million to put a patch on a Yankee uniform? That doesn't seem like you would
I mean,
be in this.
I don't. It might be low for all Major League Baseball, but I figure the Yankees are going to be at least six figures.
I got to think that because I think the Yankees would want some sort of long term deal in that upper level, right?
Right.
Like in that nine figure category.
I mean, it's almost like stadium naming rights.
5 years, $200 million. You know, something like that. Yeah, we're not talking. Yeah, you're right. You're talking about every player wearing your patch.
And then you're talking about the jerseys being sold having
right.
that patch on it.
Exactly. That's worth at least $50 million $50 million a year might get you in the conference.
Maybe game. It's got to be six. Six.
I mean, I'm talking out of my element here because I've never negotiated anything like this before.
Yeah. I mean, maybe for the Royals, you can go $20 million. Maybe for the A's, you know, you can probably go that low. I think with the Yankees, that's why I'm saying the Yankees starting line, it says, you know, it's $100 million and we're not even thinking about you.
There's probably a marketing guy out there rolling his eyes at us going, these guys don't even know how this works.
I guarantee there is.
Wouldn't it be $1 billion? Would it for the Yankees, what, $3 billion a game? Is that how it works?
Well, I'm not sure naming rights. What do they go for? Like, I don't remember what crypto.com bought, you know. Issued to the Staples Center. That was in the billions, right?
Crypto.com, yeah, probably. Crypto.com probably spent $500 million, and now it's worth $17.
So right.
They're naming rights. Yeah, exactly. Remember when we joked about Crypto.com buying the naming rights, and the Clippers were like, yeah, make sure it's not in that phony money that you guys are promoting. Yeah. If you guys don't mind, we would prefer that in hard, cold cash.
Just real quick, Crypto.com spent $700 million
for
the rights on a 20-year deal.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, for the Yankees, it's got to be six figures. I mean, come on.
Come on. Like, every Aaron Judge, it's not even that. It's Aaron Judge, all the highlights. Every time they're on New York television, ESPN, Fox television, whatever it is, every single time a Yankee player does anything, your patch is on, is going to be seen. That is, you do not even get a seat at the table for $20
million. No.
Like, they're not even entertaining the phone call for $20
million. But good on them, because bad publicity is good publicity.
That's right, exactly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is, I got to give it to University of Kentucky quarterback Will, is it Levis? Or Levis.
Oh, Will Levis, yeah.
Will Levis. Yeah, I don't know if you remember. I think it was last year we talked about his strange way of eating banana that he goes peel and all.
Yeah, he eats the thing you throw away or put in old compost.
He doesn't even peel it. He just eat it like this. It's good. And he tried to convince the world that it tastes like banana bread. Well, I don't know what he's convincing the world now, but there's a viral video of him having his morning cup of coffee where he mixes in mayonnaise.
No way.
Yes way.
Oh, God. And I like mayonnaise. I don't get me wrong. I'll put a mayonnaise on a burger. I like mayonnaise on a cheese bologna sandwich or chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
But I don't like mayonnaise in coffee.
Yeah.
Isn't mayonnaise just like egg and oil?
It's egg and oil.
I mean, you wouldn't put egg. No, I don't know.
I mean, he admits he doesn't do it all the time, but, you know, yeah. He'll dabble in the little mayo and the cup of coffee.
You know what though? Can I say this?
No, you're not even. You can't. I know what you're thinking. No, you know it's wrong.
Okay. All right, you're right.
That's not even something worth trying.
No.
Just to see, you know, like, you know, let me put a little dab in here and see.
Okay, but real quick, there's an episode of The Sopranos, right, where Tony, one of the guys in Tony's crew is making scrambled eggs, right? And Tony goes to see him, and he goes, you know, the key is sour cream, right? And I went, ooh. But then I tried it, and he was right. Throw a little sour cream in scrambled eggs. It was really good.
Really?
Yeah, but I really balked at that, and I went, that's...
So I thought gross. It was, you keep it on low heat, like medium heat.
Yes.
And you keep mixing it, but then you take it off the heat, and you keep stirring it.
That's what you got to do.
And then you put it on the heat, and then you take it off the heat, and you put it on...
Listen, I've gone down this road with my kids where I've tried to teach them how to make scrambled eggs, and inevitably my kids go, ugh! I burnt them, and I go, yeah, because the stove is on 9.5. I was like, it should be on 2. That's how you cook scrambled eggs. 2 or 3 on the meter. That's like you're boiling them. You're putting it on a boiling frying pan. What's wrong with you? No wonder they're brown. What's wrong with you? How do you get yours so silky smooth? Because it's on 2. I'm not a magician. I'm not conjuring up scrambled egg spells. I just put it on low heat and I have patience. Because my kids, I swear, I love my children, but they think if something cooks for 30 minutes at 350, it'll cook for 15 minutes at 700.
Well, that's just like, basic math,
that's
Tony.
Basic math. It's like, yeah, and it'll cook in 2 minutes on the surface of the sun. It's like they don't understand the process. I'm on a rant now, but thanks, Ron. I'm on my scrambled eggs rant now. Oh, and it smells up the house.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Burnt eggs is up.
Burnt eggs is awful.
Horrible smell.
And I can smell it coming out. I'm upstairs, and I go, oh, one of the kids burnt egg. And they both do it. It's not like one or the other. They're both doing it.
So you can't call a kid out from upstairs not seeing it. It's like, you know, you're just using generic, like, kids.
I think it's a plot. I think it is, Dad, I don't even know how this works. And then I have to make scrambled eggs.
Oh,
the kids make them.
Yeah, is that something, all right, I don't remember doing that as a kid, but I probably did.
Yeah, probably.
But I don't remember doing it as a kid. And I feel like my kids have mastered that, like, oh, but you just do it so much better.
Yeah, you do it so much better. Why don't you do it for me? And I'm like, teach a man to fish. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever heard that? And they're like, no, make the eggs. Shut up and make the eggs.
Yeah.
Like, all right, that's what I'll do. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb again, brought to you by Verizon. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue this Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, we're going to get into ACC Media Days. ACC is just, this is a very, very interesting time for that conference. So as I was saying earlier, think about the Big 12, right? So the Big 12 said, hey, we're open for business, baby. We're open for business. We've got Cincinnati coming in. We've got BYU coming in. Houston, welcome to the club. Central Florida, welcome to the club. Yeah, we're losing Texas and Oklahoma. And that's a big deal. But you know what? Come on in, Oregon. Come on in, Utah. Come on in, Arizona. If you guys want to party over here, come on into the fabulous Big 12.
They did stop short of saying, oh, no, we're not going to take all of them.
No, we're not going to take all of them. But
there's some teams we don't want.
Some
of
the
key,
yeah, right, Cal Berkeley. Some of you big market guys, yeah, come on in. We'll take you. Phoenix, how about, yeah, we'll take you. Come on in. Colorado, welcome back. SEC, Greg Sankey's like, I'm the king of the world. I run the greatest college football conference in the country. Everybody wants to be here. Not everybody can be a part of what we're doing. We kind of can pick and choose our dynasty. We win everything. Like we just, like, Lord knows they just gave Kirby Smart $112 million for the next 10 years.
My God.
It's going to be close to 12 when you break down the exact figures, plus all of the money that he makes when he does the coaches shows and endorsement deals.
And his own NIL deals?
Yeah, his own NIL deals. Yeah, exactly. All of that. So the SEC's like, yep, come over here where the water's warm. It's beautiful over here in the SEC land. ACC, a little different, right? They won a national championship with Florida State. They had won a number of national championships with Clemson. So they've been relevant, of course, in the college football world, especially Clemson. You know, when for years when they were the top team with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence beating Alabama, right? But now it feels like there is a little bit of an issue. And the biggest problem the ACC has is this. Everything in college athletics, every decision in college athletics revolves around football. No matter how good you are, Duke at basketball, North Carolina, right? It doesn't matter. It's a football world we're living when it comes to college athletics. That's why Georgetown and Syracuse don't play in the Big East anymore, right? Georgetown does, but Syracuse had to go. It's football. It dictates everything, right? Football dictates everything. So, because basketball is as popular as the NCAA tournament is, college football has got a better regular season. It's got a better business sort of model for money. And if you are Syracuse, you have to be in a football conference. You have to be in a conference that plays football. And if you are Duke and North Carolina, you are not going to keep the ACC intact just on basketball. You've got to figure out whether or not you're more viable if you're North Carolina, for example, in the SEC. And yeah, it would kill one of the greatest rivalries in all of sports in Duke, North Carolina. But maybe they do it. All right, Clemson. Does Clemson want to go to the SEC? Well, they may not in the way they it may not be something they would like to do, but it may be something they have to do. Right? Because they've always been sort of the SEC thinks they're all that, but look at us. But that might be just posturing for a different time when they really were beating Alabama and winning national titles. So the ACC media days that were going on in Charlotte on Tuesday and Wednesday, every coach that comes up there is going to be talking about their players and talking about, you know, their team and how excited they are for the upcoming season, all of those things. But the reality is there's a lot of teams in that conference that are about ready to be poached, and they're going to be discussed when more and more super conferences. And if you're Greg Sankey, here's the thing. If you're Greg Sankey, are you reaching out to Miami? Because the Big Ten might be. Are you reaching out to Florida State and North Carolina? Because Big Ten might be. Now, if you're Greg Sankey, you may not want to reach out because Florida State's a fine institution. But it's not what these things are about, right? It's not, it's about demographics and markets and things like that. Miami would be a better school to go after because that's, again, that's the market size of the Hurricanes because you don't really want to base these on football. Florida State has been down over the years, but they have a historically good football team. And they have their ups and downs, but they should be back.
But wouldn't that mix in with the Florida market, though, right?
Right, a little bit, but it's northern Florida, right? But you're also, you know, they're splitting, you know, they sort of split the baby, to use a biblical thing. I mean, like, if you go into an office in Tampa, right, you might find half the office Florida State fans, half the office Gator fans.
Yeah.
You know, closer you get to Gainesville, it's more Florida. The closer you get to Tallahassee, it's more Florida State. But they all graduate and they all disperse. If they stay in state, they're all dispersed around the state. If you're doing sports radio in Jacksonville, you would talk about Florida State and Florida. You would, if you were in Tampa, you would do the same. Pat Donovan would talk about something going on with the Seminoles. He'd talk something going on with the Gators. So you're sort of splitting a lot of the markets, but they don't dominate a market. Now, Miami, that's a different beast. Miami's Miami, right? Yeah, you know, they did a good job down there solidifying that school into that community. It's all about the U, baby. It's all about the U. All right, we'll talk ACC football media days coming up next. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please. We continue. It's Wake Up Call.
Yo. You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to our Progressive guest line, Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? They're yours, and Progressive protects them both. Bundle today at Progressive.com. Bet Huell joins us, Fox Carolina sports director. ACC Media Days wrapped up this week. Get a feeling for what's going on in that conference. How are you, Bet? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, happy to.
All right, so we were talking earlier today about the Big 12, for example. They started their media days. We're open for business. And Greg Sankey at SEC Media Days puffed his chest talking about how dominant his conference has been. What was the mood early? What is the ACC's feeling about itself when they had media days in Charlotte?
You know, everybody was anxious to hear how ACC teams were feeling. Because obviously they're the ones that everybody's kind of viewing on the chopping block, right? Like they're the ones that future is really in question of anything. And I don't think any of those concerns were like overly squashed. Especially, you know, Commissioner James Phillips at comments to start, he had this metaphor he was clinging to of like a gated community. And like things needing to be equal. And every time somebody asked something and, you know, some reporters really actually tried to press and say, you know, what's the future look like? How are you going to challenge, you know, grant of rights and pointed questions? And he kept coming back to this, like everything has to be equal and there has to be this gated community. And I had the feeling we all walked away and I felt like my, you know, fellow reporters walked away kind of going, what do we just listen to for an hour, you know? So I don't necessarily feel like there's like overt great confidence. That being said, the teams didn't seem overly caught up in it or concerned. But we didn't get any of the confident boost that we expected or some strong statement. Like, you knew we were going to ask about it. You knew we were going to talk about it. It was, we're in discussions with ESPN. And that was kind of really the most insight we got about how the ACC as a conference is feeling about their future.
Was there a feeling, and I'm probably going to ask you more about rumors than actual facts that were on the podium, was there a feeling in over the 2 days that there are certain teams that are really discussed about being on the chopping block in terms of moving than others? Is there a leader in the clubhouse, if you will, to use that phrase, of teams that are being talked about jettisoning and going to somewhere else?
I mean, I think everybody kind of has the same confidence that like Clemson will find somewhere, that nobody's going to let Clemson, you know, wither away into nothingness. But overall, I mean, it would really be them. And honestly, like Dabo exerted great, his asked directly about it and his concern for the ACC. He was just confident in the talent that they have and their winning record and their success, that like he really genuinely didn't seem concerned about it, which I, of course, then am speculating like, okay, so like who's he talking to? Yeah. What's the conversation? And we can't get anything. You know, there was last week, the Alabama Crimson Tide Foundation plane was in Clemson and I was asking why, and people got a little less than happy that I was asking why, which then makes me, why are you upset that I'm asking why?
Right.
But ultimately Alabama reached out to Alabama and they said it had nothing to do with, you know, realignment talks. And I said, well, of course you're going to tell me that, but I couldn't get anything. And again, yeah, people were kind of a little bit less than thrilled I was asking, that we saw it, that we happened to have a photog who was flying around who, you know, just was on his off days and landed at the Clemson airport.
All right, let's talk about some of the teams coming into this upcoming season. And Clemson did not win the conference last year. In fact, there's some real teams behind them in North Carolina State and Wake Forest that are being challenging Clemson's supremacy. But their offense struggled. But what did Dabo say about this version of the Clemson Tigers going into this season?
You know, I thought a really interesting part about it was, first of all, he's got DJ Uiagalelei back 100%. Like, he is there. He has it. They have the utmost confidence in him. At least that's what they're exerting, and they're doing a really good job of it. He brought up the fact that DJ has never had to handle criticism before, that DJ was the dude in high school. He came in and was a hero his freshman year, and then all of a sudden he had some struggles. They dealt with a lot of injuries. They brought up, you know, the freshman wide receivers coming in, the young running backs. Like, it was a bunch of youth, a bunch of injuries, and criticism, and that was all stuff DJ had never handled before. And right, that's what college football is about. You're supposed to learn, you're supposed to get better, and you're supposed to get ready for the next level. And so he kept playing the angle of DJ has now handled that. He handled it well in retrospect and all things considered, and he's back and he's ready to come out and he has our total confidence. So that was kind of the repeated narrative. You know, I listened to him on Radio Row and walked around and listened there. I listened to him on the podium. I listened to him in the breakout sessions. And that was kind of the continuous narrative that it was. Yes, we went through adversity last year. We're not going to deny that. It wasn't all DJ's fault. We as a team didn't do great around him either. And we've all learned from that, and we're a much better team. And utmost confidence. That entire team is walking around unabashed by the fact that people are saying they had a down year despite having 10 wins. They're like, great, we're disappointed too. We didn't think it was a good year either. And incredibly confident in their ability and where they are right now to come back and be the Clemson that, like, whatever we all think they should be, whatever their fan base thinks they should be, like, they think even higher of themselves.
Beth Hull joins us, Fox Carolina sports director on ACC football. NC State is, it feels like to me, just from the outside of the ACC area, it feels like NC State is that team a lot of people like. They're like, well, here's a bunch of teams you'd normally expect to be good, but then NC State, watch out for them. They bring back a whole bunch of starters, and they were really, really sneaky good last year. Is that really the case? Is NC State a team that can take even a bigger step than 9-3 from last season?
There definitely seems to be that. It's almost like they're getting like the underdog treatment. Like people right. are almost like a Rudy, like they're rooting for them. Like how cool would it be to see somebody else come up and do something? So there is a genuine excitement and concern about them on the schedule. Like that's a game that is going to garner a lot of tension when it comes attention when it comes up, no matter who in the ACC they're playing. And I think eyeballs are going to be on them all season long. So now can they execute? Can they live up to it? Which is the part I'm really excited to see, because it's one thing, they're no longer under the radar, you know, and I think that's a different angle that they're going to have to play from this year. Last year, they were able to kind of be coming sort of, you know, out of the blue on some teams, and they don't have that privilege anymore, and that's a whole different burden to carry as a football team.
Mike Norvell at Florida State, I can only imagine when you're trying to get something back up and it's going to take some time, and then also dealing with people that don't have patience for the time that you're trying to get the program back, it's a very precarious walk. How is he handling that? What do we expect from Florida State?
I was doing live shots during Florida State. Totally. I didn't get to be there at all. And that was one I was really excited to get to hear, because I had those same questions. I wanted to get a feel from him, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's 5-7, but we're making progress. But you got a group of people that are like, this is not what I do. We don't do this. We don't rebuild at Florida State. We keep going. Where did it go, and why can't we get it back quickly?
And, you know, and that's the tough part about some of these programs. Like, listen, I went to Nebraska, so I know more than anything of, like, holding on to these past expectations
sure.
of, like, what we're supposed to be. And it's the point of college football where, like, I personally am like, can we, like, shed these history really outside of, like, pride and alumni base that, like, you absolutely should be tapping into to have success in your program. Like, you need those alumni, and you need that respect for what they did. But, like, listen, guys, like, the world is changing. The teams that are hot now are the team. And, like, what you did 5 years ago is, like, really irrelevant in the way that the game and the just, like, recruiting classes and the relevance is all progressing at this point. And I'm like, you guys need to, like, help yourself out. Take it from a Nebraska alum. Take it from a Nebraska fan. Like, please shed those expectations for yourself, because you're going to save yourself a lot of worry. And instead just focus on, like, who you have, what you can do now, and how you can improve, like, in this moment. Because you just have to keep improving.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Accept that.
We were just talking about that with Notre Dame. I grew up at a time where the Notre Dame coach leaving for a more regional popular school was be insane.
Can you imagine?
You do not leave Notre Dame for any school that's just regionally based. You own a team that has got a global fan base and a powerful fan base, and yet here we are because no matter what Brian Kelly could put together at Notre Dame, it wasn't even close to the what talent he was facing when he would go to the playoff against an SEC school.
When that happened, I thought I saw Brian Kelly goes to LSU, and I went, there's got to be some other Brian Kelly in the coaching
right,
world.
Exactly,
like,
right?
Like, there's no way. Like, that just doesn't happen. And so I completely agree. And, you know, he was one I was really excited to meet at SEC days just because, like, you know, there's that air about him and kind of that Notre Dame, I don't want to say arrogance because I don't want to make anybody mad, but, like, a little bit of that Notre Dame arrogance that that carries. And I was super impressed with him. I had a chat with him. I know his defensive line coach from my time in North Dakota, and just was impressed. Like, now that he's lost the Southern accent, he, like, really seems to be settling in. It seems like the job is agreeing with him too.
Exactly.
Like, he looked a little lighter.
So in the end, if you were to get two or three teams, maybe outside of Clemson and North Carolina State, is there some meat in the middle, if you will? Is there some teams that, hey, look out, like, they'll make noise. They're not on the national championship level, but they could disrupt the party real big for teams in this conference.
I mean, Georgia Tech is confident. They are carrying, they took last year's game against Clemson to be a vote of confidence. Like, they didn't lose that bad, and that did wonders for them as a team. They were able to rally around that. So they're confident and they're eager to get Clemson on the field for that Labor Day opener, that Monday night in September. And so, I mean, I think they could play spoiler a bit. I mean, I obviously think Wake Forest is still very much so right there. And the ability, again, like you said, like, they're not going to win a national championship. They're not, you know, they might not even repeat, but they can play spoiler a bit. And that's really what I think, like, the rest of the ACC is at this point. They're spoiler effects.
Beth, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Hope we get you on during the season. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, would love to. Thanks.
You got it. Beth Hill, Fox Carolina sports director on ACC football. Some interesting comments there. Again, Clemson looking to get back on top. Mario Cristobal doing a good job down in Miami, too. Watch out for them in the ACC. There's a couple of things to really like in terms of this conference. But in the end, like she said at the top, the story about the ACC is not going to be about anything other than being on the chopping block. That's the big. Those are going to be the big stories coming into this year. Is anybody going to be able to beat them? Come in and take a North Carolina away, take a Florida State away, take a Clemson away. With their newest unlimited plan, everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Pay-per-view billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions, including domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. All right, Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Again, our thanks to Beth Huell in Carolina, Fox Sports Carolina, sports director. Good stuff. She is 100% right about these fan bases that are trying to cling on to old traditions. It's a new world of college athletics. It's a new world of college sports. You are not guaranteed anything.
Nope.
That's the thing. You are not supposed to, you know, you don't just get to be a national power because you used to be a national power. She's 100% right about Nebraska. Nebraska is probably a perfect example of this. Nebraska was number one all the time.
All the time.
Team, the time. Every year. Orange Bowl, national championship run, all of that.
How many Nebraska-Miami games were there in the Orange Bowl?
Oh, remember those? Like, remember how great those were?
Every year it was just those two, and one of them was going up for a national title. And normally it was Nebraska.
I can still remember Don Cricky, NBC, like those nights, those January 1st nights at the Orange Bowl, the old Orange Bowl where there'd be like debris in the air.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like little floating pieces of paper and stuff.
Not even from the stadium. It just came from somewhere else. Somewhere
Osborne
in Miami.
On the sideline. Just like I can remember when they won their first national title, and I remember somebody saying, like, around the state, like, dads are waking up their 2-year-olds, like babies, to be like, I got to be with my, to just say I was here just to watch this. Cause they had struggled. They had been really good teams. They had lost to Miami and they lost to Miami. They finally got that national title. And you know what? In a blink of an eye, it can go away. You can be a program where you bring in a guy like Scott Frost and you're not competing for national titles again. And you're not, the glory days are done. It can happen.
And it
anybody.
Really did feel that way, didn't it? It felt like, it really did. Nebraska just dropped off the face of the planet overnight.
Well, they had Frank Solich and Solich was winning like nine games, you know, like, but he wasn't 9-10 games. That wasn't good enough. And so they fired him, and they just never found the guy again. It never, and recruiting is different.
Well, like, that's why, like you bring up, you know, it's a new world order.
Yeah,
you know, fan bases can't cling on to what they had in the past, and that's what I kind of feel like USC just did. UCLA, to an extent, maybe for the basketball program, is that they can't cling to, hey, you know what? We were powerhouses. We made it on our own.
Yeah.
But now it's like, we can't. We got to join a bigger conference.
And if you get too many years past, kids go, well, that's my dad's time. You're not relevant anymore. Like, yay, you had O.J. Simpson and Lynn Swan here. But you know what? Alabama's putting every kid who plays for them in the NFL. That's the new world college football's in. And you can't just hold up a helmet and go, right here. That doesn't work anymore.